Pornography is a wrecker. It will beat you up. It will tear your mind apart. It will depress you. It will throw you and spiral you down and down and down into depression and shame. Unrepairable, unfixable, further and further away from God. Pornography is a malignant, harmful, terrible tragedy in the lives of all those who view it and bring it into their minds. Don't rationalize that. Don't rationalize this lesson. If we view pornography, we are victims. And this lesson applies to us. Do not put that away. Do not rationalize that away. Everything in this lesson applies to me, applies to you, applies to everybody, whether you viewed it or not, because all of our lives are affected by it. Pornography is warfare. It's warfare in our minds, and the prize is yours and my soul. The prize goes to the victor. Who is the victor? Who is the victor in my life? Who is the victor in yours? Our prayer is that it's God, and that God will embrace our souls, and that God will take our souls to heaven, to that home that we hope to make it. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from every fleshly lust which wage war in the soul. That's pornography, fleshly lust, and it is waging war. Make no mistake. It is waging war in our minds, and the prize of that war is your soul, nothing less. Not your uncomfortableness, not your loss of sleep, not awkwardness in front of the opposite sex, not a stilted conversation, ooh, that was awkward, but once you avoid that, you're okay. Not that. The prize is your soul, and you are giving it up if you dabble or fully plunge into this evil. The enemy is the devil. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not going to bat you around like a kitten does with a plaything until finally the kitten is done and the plaything dies of exhaustion. That's not the devil. He will devour you. And pornography is a tool that he uses. The porn industry is the face of the devil. And they are marching directly and straight to hell. And the devil is the Pied Piper leading them. Do you think they care about you and me? Do you think they even know you? They don't. Either one of those questions. Do they know your 10-year-old? Do they care that your 10-year-old has just viewed pornography on their smartphone or on their computer or in their smartphone right in the middle of class session? Do you think that the porn industry knows that's happening or even cares? Do you think that the pornography industry cares that your 10-year-old is destined for a life of misery and depression and battles? They don't care. All they care about is gaining a lifelong customer. You're gaining lifelong misery. The pornography industry is the devil's handiwork and his tool to take you down with him. Men and women both. This is not my sin as a class, speaking for the class of men. This is not my sin. This is our sin. Men and women both. Pornography is damaging because women use it and men use it. Pornography is damaging because those who live with the people who are victims and addicts are damaged. The devil wants you, and he is going to get you. He is going to get you. It's not subtle. It's pervasive. It crops up in movies. It crops up in TV, commercial, billboards, everywhere online, in our smartphones, and we must act on it. We must act to save our children. We must act to save ourselves. We must do something. The ship is sinking. What are you going to do? Just stand there and go down with it? We must act. Pornography must be acted upon. There are problems. The pornography industry, one of the problems is, here's some statistics. Pornography viewing is on the rise. Not even considering the advent of the smartphones, these statistics are about 2 years old and don't take into consideration our smartphones. Porn exposure to boys prior to the age of 13 in 2008 was 14.4%. In 2011, only 3 years later, 48.7% of boys 13 and under have viewed pornography. 3 years. Pornography is on the rise. That is a problem. Daily or almost daily consumption or viewing by boys under the age of 13 in 2008 was 5.2%. 3 years later, 13%. It is on the rise. And again, that doesn't take into consideration our smartphones. There are porn recovery websites. One of them is called Your Brain on Porn. It gets as many as 20,000 unique viewers daily. It's a problem for them. It's a problem for everybody. In China, two forums are combined together, and they currently have more than 1 million members struggling to correct this problem in their lives. So there's one problem, statistics. Another problem is that it's too uninhibiting to partake. It's too easy. The three A's are accessibility, affordability, and anonymity. It's too accessible. It's on your desktop, it's on your laptop, it's in your smartphone, right here in your pocket. It's too affordable. What's the price of pornography? There's no price, it's free. You can find it. The cost is nothing in terms of money. And it's too anonymous. Yesterday's purchases of pornography were awkward. Sure, you could go behind the curtain in the video store and you're private there, but you still got to come out from behind that curtain with the video in hand. Awkward. Then you got to walk up to the counter and put it on the counter there. Whose is that? That's not mine. I'll pay for it. I mean, that's just silly, but it's awkward. Public purchases of pornography were inhibiting. People still did it, but it wasn't easy. That was yesterday. There's no more embarrassing public purchases. Those are gone. There's no more embarrassing public rentals. It's private in your home. It's private in your workplace. And it's private mobily on your phone. So that's a problem. Another problem is pornography trains viewers to objectify every single member of the opposite sex, not just some. If you view pornography, you view every single member of the opposite sex as an object to be visually analyzed and evaluated for your own physical pleasure. Eyes are immediately drawn to bodies or body parts. Eyes are immediately drawn not to a person with a personality, but to an object. Others are just demeaning pleasure objects. Does the object have the right curves? Does the object have the right body proportions? Pornography viewing does this to the viewer. That's a problem. It is irresistible and it's reflexive. Just like your knee reflexes when you hit it with a rubber mallet, pornography causes you to do this reflexively. Every other person is an object. That's a problem. Pornography isolates. Viewing is in secret, solitary, and is detaching. Online writers, there's an online writer that I'm going to quote in a second. He just writes online, and he made this observation. They figured that they would never be able to have a normal, fulfilling relationship with a woman, and considering they were freaks of nature, they secluded themselves from society and became hermits. That same writer then quoted somebody else who said, "The central thing destroying my confidence and making me feel alone." Attention to this, to porn displaces attention to healthy things. It displaces you working on your personality. You spend too much time viewing porn, therefore you can't spend time on this. You can't spend time on spirituality. You've been displacing God. You've displaced holiness, creative energies, working on accomplishments, finding a fulfilling and meaningful life, pursuing your marriage, pursuing a new marriage, finding a mate, that is. Spending time viewing pornography prevents you from spending time on patience with your children. It neurologically binds your eyes. It neurologically binds to images, resulting in It neurologically binds you to images and unbinds you from your spouse. You are so engrossed on visualizing, remembering, and actually looking at pornography images that you unbind your vision and your gaze and your wonder and your fulfillment of your own spouse. You're preoccupied with pornographic images. It's internal. It's not external, resulting in a loss of focus on the external, your spouse, your relationships with God and others. You can't be yourself with your own spouse. You compare your spouse to pornographic images. You lose your presence of mind with your spouse. You lose your intimacy with your spouse. You lose your love. You feel separated from God. As a result, the addict spirals down into depression and isolation. That's a problem. Another problem is dopamine produce. The way in which you produce dopamine. Now, various parts of your body produce dopamine for different functions. And what dopamine does is it's a chemical that transfers a nerve signal from one nerve to the other where there's a gap. So in that synapse, dopamine jumps across and transfers the activity that was going on this nerve and makes this nerve then have the same activity. And by that way, the activity is transferred throughout your brain or in different parts of your body. The dopamine in your reward circuit of your brain triggers reward from nerve ending to nerve ending. And when you view porn, that is anybody You train dopamine production to respond to that. And not only the dopamine is trained to produce for that, but the actual nerves get more healthy and stronger for that particular stimuli. It's a trained thing, and it's real and it's a fact. So there's two things. The reward circuitry, the nerves, they become healthy and built up, but the dopamine amount that is injected in the nerve synapses also becomes greater. But it only does so for novel stimuli. The more and more and more that you overstimulate on one source, the less dopamine is produced. So what do you do about that? You've got to get a new source. Click on a new picture. Click on a new video. Click, 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 click. Window, 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 tab, tab, tab. Pretty soon your computer is full of pornography as you gaze from subject to window to new tab to new subject to new picture to new video, and your life is spiraling down and down and down. Dopamine production is real, and if done incorrectly, that is, if used for pornography, it's a problem. We let it be a problem. The dopamine doesn't make us behave this way. Our behavior makes the dopamine behave that way. And that's important, because you are not forced to do this. Your mind doesn't make you do this. You make the dopamine do this. Our reward circuitry, however, is created by God, and it is very good. Dopamine production is God created, and it is very good. Dopamine production is hijacked by the devil because he can assign sin to it instead of a real and genuine good thing. Then we become hardwired to porn addiction by our reward circuitry and dopamine production. This addiction, however, does not mean that we are weird. It does not mean that we are psychopaths, devils, murderers, harmful, threatening. People who suffer from this addiction are not the people on the news necessarily. They are you and me. They are everybody. This addiction potential means that we must be in charge of our minds. We must make the right choices. We must act correctly on our choices, and we must be on guard. Dopamine is a problem if we are addicts to porn. Another problem is addicts offend others. Others can tell. Most women can tell when you're preoccupied. And you know what I mean by preoccupied. You're fidgety. You can't make eye contact. You look at body parts. You cause others to avoid. Other people then will avoid you. It offends. That's a problem. Another problem is guilt versus shame. Now, guilt is healthy. Guilt is good. Guilt is a product of your conscience, and it reacts to what you've actually done, what you did in reality. If your conscience likes that, you're the hero. If your conscience is trained to not like that, you're a fiend. You've done wrong. You need to repent, pray, confess, and seek God. Guilt is good. Shame. Maybe some shame isn't so bad, but I'm going to make the case that shame is different than guilt and is bad. Based upon what you believe, not upon what you did. And it's what we believe about ourselves. Shame makes me believe that I'm worthless, that I have no value. When I'm ashamed of myself, I believe I'm unfixable. I believe I'm unlovable. I don't deserve to live. I don't deserve to have you as a friend. I don't deserve your kindness. I don't deserve God. I don't deserve to be loved. It creates a defeated mind falling back into the same cycle of sin. It erodes my identity. It erodes confidence. It fosters hopelessness. It fosters thoughts of self-harm. It fosters suicidal thoughts. It becomes a barrier in our relationship. Shame is a perception that we have of self-worthlessness. Shame is unhealthy. Shame is a problem. And shame is produced by porn. Pornography drowns many in shame so far that they hate themselves. Guilt is good. Guilt is enough. That's all we need. All we need is guilt. God wants us to feel guilty. We will do something about our sin, and that's enough. We don't need to be ashamed of ourselves. That's the devil's. That's a problem. Another problem is that it fractures you. Psychologically, pornography fractures and fragments you. It separates your mind from your body. It makes your body a slave of your mind. You deny the single unit of the mind and body together, receiving the pleasure that should in a united way, from an external source. Your mind sees what it wants for pleasure, and it makes your body give it as a slave. It forces the body, the slave, to deliver. Pornography psychologically fragments your mind from your body, but it also fragments your mind from itself. It separates your mind from your mind. You don't have a single mind in pornography use. One mind wants the pleasure depraved. The other mind wants not the depraved, but the spiritual. One mind is good. One mind is bad. And Paul spoke of that, didn't he? In Romans chapter 7, Paul says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am flesh, sold into bondage of sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. But if I do the very thing that I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, in my good mind, but the doing good is not." Fractured, fragmented, separated. "For the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see different law in my members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am." That's exactly what pornography does to you. What person viewing pornography, what person indulging in pornography doesn't say that very thing, "Wretched man that I am"? It's a big problem. Very unhealthy. Real relationships with a real person, our mind and body remain single, united, and intact. That's the way it should be. Our pleasure comes from an external source of our spouse at any level. Another real person gives attention to us. Our unified mind and body receive as intended by God. We are not fractured in a healthy relationship where a separate, real other person is relied upon for our health and our pleasure and our daily life. Pornography fractures you. Pornography, finally, the last problem, it is sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20 talk about sinning against the Spirit. Flee immorality, starting in verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Sin occurs well before physical action takes place. Sin occurs in your mind first. Sin occurs in our minds, and that's where the war is. Your warfare is in your mind. Matthew 5, 27 through 28 says, "You have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery." The action, the physical deed, externally, outside of your mind. Jesus starts out from that standpoint. He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." The warfare is in our minds. Our actions only follow what our minds have just told our actions what to do. Your mind is where the battlefield is. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15 says, "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust conceived, it gives birth to sin." Where's the action there? Where's the physical deed there? I didn't see it yet. "And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death." When does sin first happen? Porn is warfare with sin in our minds. So those are the problems. Those are big. But there's good news. We have a war which is fought by many battles. And one of those battles is the battle of the statistics, which I mentioned. Don't be a part of those statistics. Don't view pornography. Then there's the battle of the uninhibitedness, the three A's, affordability, anonymity, and I forget what the other one is, but the three A's. Oh, accessibility. The battle of the uninhibited. Make it inhibited. Don't make it easy. Make it inaccessible rather than accessible. Clear your computer's every memory of the possibility of ever remembering porn. Install an application. Covenant Eyes, for example, is one, but there are others. Next, make it expensive. Don't make it affordable. Now, I don't mean monetarily here. I mean make it expensive in terms of penalty. Make it too public. Don't make it anonymous. How do you do that? Confess your sin. Find a mentor. Talk to your spouse. Put your computer out in the open, and there's lists of things to do. The battle of objectifying. Train your eyes anew. I can't do that. Yes, you can. And since you can, you're bound to do it. You must. Train your eyes anew. Cancel the eyes' spontaneous reflex to the bodies, other bodies that you see. Cancel the eye's dwell time of how long you stare. See other people's faces. See their eyes. See their hair. See that they have personalities inside. Don't objectify them. See other things in the surrounding area that distract you. See a tractor. Think about that. See whatever you see that draws your mind to a different place. That is a tool that you can use. See what your mind's to see, what your mind needs to see to remain outside of your head and not inside your head. Don't let your mind come inside and dwell on thoughts. Use your eyes for good to pull you out. See around you. This is a tool that you must practice. Bring yourself out of the mind's warfare with pornography and win the battle of objectifying others. Train your mind anew. Engage your mind in conversation. Don't just listen to the talk coming at you while you think of other things. Engage your mind in the real person that's in front of you. Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 through 23 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be filled with darkness. If then the light that is in your eye is darkness, how great is that darkness?" It is dark. Matthew 18:9 says, "And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into hell." Now, I get that I'm probably not expected to physically pull my eye out, but I think that the lesson and the point is there. The concept is, what is more important to you? If getting off pornography is more important to you, then work on what your eyes see. That is a battle that you must win. You must win. No questions about it. Don't rationalize that. The battle of isolation. Give attention to opening up and connecting with people. Develop intimate, personal, caring relationship with others. By intimate, I mean, be personal. I mean, have a friend that you're open with. Have real laughter with. Don't exist in front of them. Open up your relationships to real, genuine, intimate, caring relationship with others. Don't isolate yourself. Serve others. Develop your personality, develop your spirituality, develop your relationship with God, with holiness. Spend time creating and designing, making things, accomplish things, find meaning to your life, pursue the development of your own current marriage, or find a wife or husband. Have patience and love and intimate relationships with your children. Don't shut them down because you're too busy, preoccupied with pornography. Get outside more. And I don't mean outside the building of your home. I mean outside of your mind. Get out of your mind. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." In this passage, there is no self. Others are more important. We look out for others. We empty ourselves. And we be a slave to others. That's what we get from that passage. That's what you must do to stop your isolation. The dopamine battle. The dopamine battle is reversible. If you can train it one way, you can train it the other way. That's real. There is hope. And since there's hope, and since you can train it the other way, you are bound to do it. Since God has given you that ability, then God is expecting you to act on it. We must act on it. We can train those nerve endings. We have trained them already with pornography to be built up and hardwired to view pornography and give us stimuli and reward signals in our brain to view pornography. That is a built thing that our behavior did. That logically means, and medically in reality, in fact, means we can build it the other way, and we must do it. Our minds, our reward circuitry, and our dopamine can be built in the opposite direction. Guilt and shame battle. Keep the guilt. That's a keeper. Get rid of the shame. God loves you. I love you, and you all love each other. This problem of pornography is just a sin. That's all it is. It will take you down like any other sin. Don't over-magnify it. And don't over-magnify it in others. We are all brothers and sisters of this battle. Get rid of the shame. Keep the guilt. God's love for you is valuable. Christ died for you as a valuable person. There is no sin that Christ's blood is unable to cleanse. Porn failure is not final. Porn failure does not hold ultimate power over us. Shame and lost hope is devil's tool to make us give up and feel hopeless and just continue in the same old trap. That's the devil's lie, and he is the father of all lies. Win the prayer of battle, the battle of prayer. Jesus told his disciples to pray lest you fall into temptation. Remember in the garden. And then Jesus went off to pray, and he came back and saw his disciples not praying. In fact, they were sleeping. And he said, wake up and pray lest you fall into temptation. Twice. Immediately following that, they were tempted. Who won and who lost? Jesus just prayed. He won. He kept his composure. He healed Malchus. But his disciples were enraged. All they wanted to do was kill. Peter took out his sword and tried to kill Malchus. Win the battle of prayer. Win the battle of meditation. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Remember our opening passage? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers, abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Pornography is a fleshly lust. We must abstain from it. It is our calling to do so. We must take every thought captive. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but divinely powerful and destructive of fortresses. For the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive. Not some. Oh, just be free. You can think whatever you want, man. Don't be so hard on yourself. That's what I hear at work. Are you crazy? How could you possibly be so hard on yourself? That must be a bummer. Take every thought captive. Don't be fooled. Don't rationalize. This is our calling. Pornography is bad. Spiritual warfare, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's where our warfare is. Success is possible. We can retrain our minds. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will enter the kingdom of God." And what does he say next, remember? I've got it written, so I know the answer. What does he say next? "Such were some of you." Remember, when you point to somebody else, you've got three fingers pointing back at yourself. "Such were some of me." What does that mean? Success is possible. These people had your heart. You're not unique. Sin is not new. You are not suffering all by yourself. This is not about poor little me. The people in Corinth suffered those battles. Don't belittle them. Don't minimize them and think you're the greatest sinner. Nobody can overcome what I'm going through. Those Corinths, oh, that passage, such were some of you, they probably just did some little sins and they got over it, and Paul clapped for them and patted them on the back and said, "You Corinthians are good, you're done with that little sin now." No! What makes you think that, or what makes me think, all of us together, that our sin is any greater than those that the Corinthians were battling? And they succeeded. "Such were some of you." What does that mean? That means you're just sinning and you've got to get over it. Get over it. Get past it. Move on with your life and serve God. Man up. Pull your heads out of the sand. Pull your heads out of your own isolated world. And henceforth, there will be laid up for you a crown of righteousness. Pornography will take you down. So will many other sins. We must get out of it. That's all I have. Kyle is going to lead us an invitation song. If you have not partaken of the Lord's Supper, you have the opportunity to do so at this time. If you need the prayers of this congregation, of your brothers and sisters, the family of God, you have that. Come forward and let us know that you would like it. If you would like to become a Christian, you can do that too. Nothing stops you from serving God. If you have anything that you'd like to make known to the congregation, if you'd like us to pray for you or do something for you, come forward. Kyle will lead us in the invitation song at this time.